All right, Alexander, we have got another conflict brewing in Syria, in Iraq, with Turkey. Not only Turkey, actually, Iran as well. I don't know if maybe we want to talk a bit about Iran as well, but this conflict is aimed at certain factions of the Kurds in these areas in Syria and Iraq. For Turkey, to simplify it, a lot of this, according to the Turkish authorities, is connected to the terrorist attacks in Istanbul. And for Iran, a lot of the attacks against the Kurds are or these Kurdish factions are because of the support that they're getting, that the Kurdish factions are giving to protesters in the forms of weapons and money and terrorist activities there. But there's one. There's something that connects all of this together with regards to Turkey's strike against the Kurds and Iran's actions against these Kurdish factions, and that is the fact that this is not so much about the Kurds. It's more about striking out against a US proxy, which is what both countries are doing. I
And
think
in fact,
that is what this is really about.
absolutely. And in fact, that is exactly correct. Because, of course, you go back to that event with in Istanbul, for example, the United States sent a letter of condolence to the Turkish authorities. The Turks rejected it. They sent it back. I mean, the US has tried to soothe Turkish feelings over this. They said that Turkey has the right to protect itself. But if you look at the weight of attacks that the Turks have been launching, the airstrikes, the shelling, it is very much directed at areas of Kurdish control, controlled by Kurdish groups, which are aligned with the United States. And if you look at what the Iranians are saying, they're also essentially accusing the Kurds in Western Iran of being aligned with the United States. Both Iran and Turkey, and by the way, Iraq and Syria too, at some levels, have come to see the Kurds increasingly as American proxies. And Iran, Turkey, and Russia had a meeting under the Astana process. The Turkish and Russian defense ministers had a telephone call. Conversation today. And there's also, by the way, now talk that China might also participate in the Astana process too. So you can see that all of these countries are starting to combine against a what they're starting to see as a Kurdish proxy of the United States, which is becoming increasingly dangerous to all of them.
Well, it is a US proxy. I
Yeah,
mean, that's
it
not
is.
an exaggeration. That's
No,
fact,
it is
correct?
absolutely not an exaggeration. By the way, I would also add that there's now once again talk that Assad and Erdogan might have a summit meeting. This is said to be work underway to get this meeting organised. So, American policy of supporting the Kurds in order to achieve leverage over all of these various countries, Turkey, Iran, Syria, Iraq, what it's doing instead is bringing all of these countries together and also bringing in the two big Eurasian powers, Russia and China. So it's not working, and it could intensify, it could get worse.
Well, the Kurds, at the end of the day, they're going to be the big losers in all of this, I imagine, because it seems like the signals that you're getting from DC is that, with on the one hand, with Turkey, they're kind of giving Turkey the green light. Okay, they voiced their opposition to what Turkey is doing, but they can't really stop Turkey from going after these Kurdish groups, and so. There's nothing that the US can do there vis-a-vis Turkey. And with Iran, it also seems like okay, they've taken a different approach and they're condemning what Iran is doing, but once again, the US really can't do anything there either. It seems like they're stuck. There's absolutely nothing that the US can do in either scenario. It's just interesting that they've given the okay for Turkey, and they've condemned Iran. Okay, makes sense. That's, I guess, to be expected. But at the end of the day, it's the Kurds that are kind of stuck in in this, because they became the U.S. proxy in the area.
Absolutely.
And another note, another interesting note is that you have the U.S. oil in Syria kind of tied into this as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in fact, it is oil installations that the Turks are currently bombing. And of course, they are oil installations that are part of the energy infrastructure that the United States has been trying to create in eastern Syria and protect and control for its own interests. So actually, what you're seeing is Turkey, still a NATO ally, attacking US geopolitical and economic interests in Syria, which is quite an interesting development. As for the Kurds, you're absolutely correct. Now, they have been repeatedly warned by the Russians, who have had a long history, by the way, of being sympathetic to the Kurds, that the Kurds were taking reckless risks by aligning themselves so closely with the United States, that they were losing friends by doing it, that they were making themselves extremely vulnerable by doing it. The Russians have repeatedly told the Kurds that the right thing for them to do was to do a deal with Damascus. The Kurds have never done that. They've always gone back. There's been negotiations, there's been discussions, but always in the end, they preferred the American promises that, you know, might one day lead to a united Kurdistan, which the US has no real intention of ever bringing about. But, and as a result, they've been led up the garden path, and they're now facing this potential coalition of all the big countries in the area, Turkey, Iran, Syria, Iraq, all coming together against them.
Is there anything that the US can do, and what can the Kurds do?
Well, what the US can do is that it can always try and find various tools to try to undermine the governments in Ankara and Tehran. I mean, you know, you have protests in Iran, and I don't want to say, first of all, that those protests don't have genuine grievances behind them, and that they aren't, you know, people who have real reasons to go out and protest. But the fact is, the United States has supported them. It's apparently provided. There have been financial aid provided to these protesters. There's, you know, radio stations, there's media campaigns, there's been all kinds of things. So, you know, it can do that in Iran. We've talked about how the United States in the past has also tried to involve itself in Turkish affairs, how, you know, there's a group with John Bolton leading it trying to achieve regime change in Turkey. And, of course, the last thing that the United States can do, we've got to be very careful what we say now, but there's all sorts of, shall we say, people who it is legitimate to call bad actors, jihadi groups, which have at various times worked with the United States and which could be used potentially or conceivably to create problems for all of these countries. But the last is a very risky strategy because, of course, it might end up consolidating the alliance between all of these countries because they will see a common threat from these groups. And, of course, as we've always often seen, these groups are difficult to control anyway. So, yes, the United States can do things. It will do things. It's not going to just disappear. But its policies have created another arc of crisis. And at the moment, it's not working out well for the United States.
Yeah, I think a meeting with Erdogan and Assad would signal that the door is going to close on the U.S.'s influence in that region.
I agree.
That meeting would bring everything
seminal
to a conclusion.
Seminal. And as I said, there is apparently now, again, work being done to try to get it organised. Interestingly enough, Erdogan very much wanted to meet Assad at the summit in Samarkand back in September. But Assad decided to stay away. Clearly, there's a lot more work to do. He still wants, presumably, some kind of concessions or some kind of deal with Erdogan. And there's a lot of bad blood between the two. But It seems that work on getting this summit set up is now once again on going on and is now on the horizon. Talk is it will happen in Kazakhstan, by the way.
Is the U.S. occupation of Syria, is that going to come to an end?
Well, I have to say this. If Syria, Turkey, Iran and Iraq are all united in saying that the U.S. occupation of eastern Syria must come to an end, then I can't myself see how it is sustainable, because the U.S. has to send supplies to these people in eastern Syria somehow. And if all of these countries are going to close off the supply routes, how is it going to do them?
Wow. All right. How's that for a checkmate move if that happens?
I mean, it would be, as you absolutely said, rightly say, it would be the collapse of U.S. influence in the northern Middle East. It would mean, by the way, that the cycle of wars, which began in the Middle East with the Iraq wars of the 1990s and early 2000s, and, of course, the Syrian war, had finally come to an end with the collapse of American influence in that region, which is, of course, the opposite of what the neocons intended when they launched those wars.
What was it? Wesley Clark's list of 7 or 8 nations that he was talking about, something like that, where he listed the name Syria and all those countries that are going to undergo regime change. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on this?
Well, it's still a crisis situation. It's interesting that the Turks are talking to the Russians, not to the Americans, notice. It's interesting that the Iranians are talking to everybody. And the other thing is that China, which has tended to try and keep away from involvement in these issues, has now come out with statements that it's actually willing to take a more active role in supporting the Astana process. And if you remember, about a year ago, a top Chinese official visited Syria, and there was talk about Syria joining the Belt and Road Initiative and all of those sort of things. So it looks as if China is now entering the game as well.
Yeah. Really interesting not to see the collective West in an uproar over Turkey's
intervention. No, of course not. Yeah, well, I mean, very quiet, you know, you can only take on that, you know, number of enemies. I mean, can I just say, when it comes to Turkey, I mean, it's absolutely infamous, of course, that Russia occupies, you know, territory in Ukraine. And this has never happened before in Europe. There's never been a situation where one European country is occupying the territory of another European country. Except, of course, you, as a Cypriot, a Greek Cypriot, no otherwise. I mean, Turkey has been occupied 40% of Cyprus since 1974. Nobody says anything. I mean, it's not even an issue. Nobody sanctions Turkey. Nobody, you know, arms Cyprus. There's none of the, you know, moralizing or, posing that you get. It's just quite extraordinary how that whole, you know, conflict is never discussed or mentioned anymore.
Just blame it on Russia.
Blame it all. Absolutely. Quite so. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. TheDurad.locals.com. You can also find us on Rockfin and go to the Durad shop. 10% off. Use the code GOODDAY. Take care.